All right, so this morning we're looking at the subject of Matthew 25 and using our talents and gifts and the things that God has blessed us with. Every ability and everything that you have that you can do, well, it comes from God. And we need to recognize that. And all of it is to give glory to God. So we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about it and what Jesus specifically taught on this subject this morning. But before we do that, I ask that you pray with me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that today we're able to wake up and to assemble together as Christians to be able to study your word and to worship you and to thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you that he rose again. We thank you for Christ's holy life and his words that we are about to learn from and to gain and to allow to change us. Father, we thank you for the Bible and for the scriptures, and we ask your blessings upon our hearts and our minds now that we focus on the truth, and Father, we continue to increase in your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So again, God gives all people. He gives us our life, he gives us our ability, and I think it's very strange sometimes when people don't think about what they have and the skills and the blessings that they have. They don't recognize who they come from or sometimes how they develop. I was reading an article this week, and it was talking about some qualities about people that they don't realize that, I guess you could say that they're very skilled at what they do. And those who are very good at what they do oftentimes think that what they do, well, other people could do it as well. And maybe they think it's easier than what it is, the things that they do. And I would encourage you this morning that everybody has gifts in here. We have different functions in the body of Christ is what we're going to read about. And there are things that you can do that others cannot do. There are talents and abilities that God has given to you, and you might think, well, it's such a small thing and it does such little, why should I use it? And I would encourage you, do not think in that way at all. Jesus would tell you not to think in that way at all. Don't think that you're just, the abilities you have little influence or little to offer. You do. And God has given you those abilities, and he has blessed you in a way that you can increase them and double and grow in your talents. And what is God has given you and those skills and blessings that you have. So God's given us, he's given us life, and he's given us that ability to live in a sacrificial way, to live by faith, and you need to trust in him. And God here, and I love what Christ is here, he puts the responsibility on you. That God has given you the abilities and talents. Use them. Double them, increase them. If you don't, well, take from Christ and what we are about to read here in Matthew 25. Verses 14 through 30. And here we get to look at the parable of the talents. And many of us are very familiar with the parable of the talents. And I did do the research that I mentioned last Sunday night, where I mentioned to you, you could look up the etymology of the word, that is the origin of the word talent. So I did that. I went into and looked it up in the dictionary, as I described last Sunday night, which I hadn't done beforehand. But this time I did it, and the word talent actually comes from the measurement of money, and it actually comes from the Bible and from this parable. So the very fact that the word talent is in our vocabulary, in the English vocabulary, comes directly from the Bible, from the teachings of Jesus in the Scriptures. So you don't realize a lot of times the things and the way the Bible has influenced our culture and changed the words and the way that we speak. So we're talking about talent. We're talking about what we're going to be reading here is a measure of gold and a measure of precious jewels. And a talent of gold would be equal to what you've seen oftentimes in movies, because I don't usually get to hold bars of gold. Maybe you do. But about 2 bars of gold equals a talent of gold. Can you imagine that? Having that much gold and that to invest and be given to you. And so that's where the idea of talents comes from. You've been given to something of great wealth, something that's in the values of millions of dollars. And that's what we're reading here in Matthew chapter 25. God's given it to you, and he wants you to invest it and to use it. And so we're going to take a look here at that passage. Matthew 25, begin with me in verse 14 down to verse 30, and we'll read along and we'll make some observations as we do that. So this is what we read. It says, "For it will be like..." Well, let's just pause for a minute. When he says "for it," you've got to go back into context and realize he says "for the kingdom of heaven," the kingdom of God. "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another two, and to another one, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. But he who received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money, which is a common practice in those days, was to take your money, and if you didn't put it in the bank, a lot of people would just bury it in the ground in certain places. I've heard of people with metal detectors going out to ancient ruins, especially like in England where there are old Roman ruins, and going over and finding places where coins have been buried. So this man takes his talent and he buries it. Let's keep reading verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. Notice that. He describes this great amount of wealth that he's entrusted to him in the millions of dollars. That would be the value today. As a little. You've been entrusted with a little. So his master again said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 22. And he also had the two, and he who also had the two talents came forward and saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents, and here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received the one talent. He who had received the one talent came forward and saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter, where you scattered no seed. And so I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. And then you ought to have invested your money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus has a very curious way of ending his parables with those warnings, of telling what happens to the person who does not do the will of God and does not please God, and those who rebel against God and don't do what they're instructed to do. And in there, that man is cast into outer darkness. And we see this commonly throughout Jesus' parables. Christ spoke more about hell than any other prophet and speaker or anyone else in the Bible. In fact, I would say, from my perspective, he spoke more about hell than all the rest of them combined. But I might be assuming too much there. But we do see that emphasized here. So you see that the things Jesus is talking about here in the parable of the talents is a serious matter. And so we read this and we think about it, and we start to examine ourselves and to think about it. The kingdom of God here is what? What it is that God is entrusting gifts to his servants according to their ability. What you can do, your power. He knows what you can do. And he's giving you certain talents and skills to give glory to him. Not glory to yourself. Not so that you can have a better business so that people think of you very well in the community. No, so that you bring glory to God. And we want to think about that a little bit more as well. So God's kingdom, again, is him entrusting gifts and abilities to his servants. What for? To be invested, to be used, to be increased upon. God expects his servants to use their talents and potentially double them and double the productive value of them. You know that's true if you have a skill or ability and you don't use it. Or if you've been trained in a certain area, it seems to diminish over time. You start to lose it. And so what did the scriptures say to do? What does God tell you to do? What does Jesus tell you to do? Jesus says this, and he puts again the responsibility on you. He tells us, you have this. God's given it to you, and it comes by his great grace. Use it. Use it. We see this, God's servants, he says here, the ones that use those talents, and they increase in them. And you need to trust in God to be able to do that. Use what God's given to you because it will increase. But God's servants who use their talents, they're called their good and faithful servants. Are you a good and faithful servant? Well, a lot of people today want to call themselves good. We talked about that before, the rationale. Everybody thinks of themselves as being a good person. But are you faithful to God with what he's given to you? Are you a servant of him? Then you are truly good. We see here the great wealth of the ability that God has given to us, and yet Jesus says in the description here within the parable is that the great things that God has given to you, he says, are little because God can give you so much more. He's going to bless you with much more. But with much more to do, to live in his eternal kingdom, all those things come in here. We see this, if you are faithful, and the implication of believing and trusting in Christ is that you're going to be faithful and you're going to live by faith. And when you live by faith, you're going to serve him. You're going to use your talents. And then you have the hope that's demonstrated here where Jesus says to those, where we have that depiction there, the Lord talking to his servants, that master talking to his servants, that they will enter into the joy of the Lord. I want that. I want to enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to use what God has given to me and I want to increase in them. There's no way that I want to stand before God and have the other response said to me and have God or and hear from Christ say, you wicked and slothful servant, you were lazy, you did wrong. You were given these abilities and you didn't use them, or maybe you did use some of them, it was only for you. And so God has given these things to us. And I hate that. I hate the description of being called slothful or lazy. I don't want that. I never want to hear that. And I definitely don't want to hear it from Christ and hear it from my Lord. I want to be faithful and I want to listen to what Jesus is saying here. And look in, and examine myself and say, what can I do? What are my abilities? I know a lot of questions might be coming up in your mind, and we'll talk about them in a moment. But consider what Christ has to say here. How he's urging us. How he's telling us that God has invested in you. We see this, that the worthless servant, again, it describes will be cast into outer darkness. And you have that description from the last verse of Isaiah, Isaiah 66 and verse 24, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And yet those who live in rebellion of God, who are not faithful, who are not good servants of him, that is the consequence of their life. They've turned themselves against God's grace and his forgiveness. They've gone their own way. So again, Jesus' parable of the talents, it places the duty upon us. The responsibility upon you. And I think that's what makes the words of Christ so powerful. I think a lot of people today, they want to push off the responsibility. A lot of men respond in that way. Well, if I can't do it my way, then I won't do anything at all. And you see these kind of men who give up on lives, give up on having a family or having a home or having a job, and they just wonder. They've given up on it. They don't take responsibility for themselves. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have pity on individuals like that. No, and I think we should, and Christ does. And he says to us that God has given you the ability, so do something. He's given you the skills. He's given you these great things that you can do. And you might be thinking, well, the things that I do, they're so little. In the whole scope of things, it may be in some ways. But here, the value of a talent, I think, shows that what God has given you is great, and he wants to give to you so much more. But what do we think about? What do you think about our responsibility to use our God-given abilities? Well, look where I live and those of them around, I can't do that much. God knows my abilities. And yet we kind of stop. We make up excuses, don't we? We think about that. We think in that way. Okay, so this is for me to do. These are abilities and skills that God has given to me. But what good's going to come out of it? I've had some disappointment in my life. I've tried to do things and it just didn't work out. And I just give up. I think we've heard a lot of success stories of those, especially within the faith, who continue to try and continue to strive and continue to work toward God. And great things come from it because they trusted in their Creator. They trusted in Christ. You know, I also think about, when we're on this subject, I think about what the church would look like What would the church look like if most Christians used their God-given talents? You think about that. I know we think about ourselves individually, but think about the church as a whole. You know, certain passages that come to my mind in Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how we grow and we increase and we encourage one another and that God has given us all gifts. But are we using them? And it says there in Ephesians 4 that if we use them, God would give us great increase. He would cause us to grow. What if the church is not influencing the community because we're not using, not doing what we could, not using our talents? And what would God think of that about that church? Well, when I read Revelation and I look at those five of the seven churches whom Christ told to repent, I see a lot of them in some way not using the abilities that God has given to them. So as Christians, we have the option. We can stay stagnant. We can do nothing. We can essentially be lazy. And we can do that with our faith, or we can do what God has blessed us to do, and that is to grow and to mature. I encourage you this morning and ask ourselves, because this is what I get from Jesus' parable, is that he's challenging us, and we need to be challenged. We need to be challenged. That we're not wasting our lives or just living for ourselves, but we're living as good and faithful servants. And we need to be challenged to make sure that we are. And I know a lot of us are using our abilities, but we also need to think on the other side of it, is it giving glory to God? I know we live in a secular world, and some people say, oh, well, keep your faith to yourself and your politics and be quiet and don't bring that into this public place or into the workplace or into school. And there's to a certain point that we've got to be as cunning as serpents and as innocent as doves. We've got to be very smart about the way that we speak. And if we read our Bibles, we would know some of the ways in which we can talk. And if we would do one thing, that is to have those who are around us that we encourage, that we would pray with them, even behind closed doors, people would know. They would know who we are. They would know what we stand for, what we're striving to do, and how we're trying to encourage others. And it would give glory to God, because all the good that we do, they would think, that's because they're a Christian. That's because they believe in God, and they believe in the Bible, and that they're faithful to Him. Think about that. From the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says here in Matthew 5 and verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's the point of our good works, is so that others give glory to our Father in heaven. But if we keep our faith to ourselves and we never tell anybody, well, I do this because God has given it to me. Such a simple thing to say. To mention our Creator. To talk about God. Oh, we know we need to do it. Well, how can we do that? I mean, it just doesn't seem like that would come up in, you know, an everyday conversation, or if that's a part of the reality that I live in, then I can mention God. And I think the more that you study the Scriptures and the more that you pray and the more that you talk about what you're studying and reading, the more that you're a disciple of Christ, you can't hold it in. You won't be able to keep it to yourself. And we want to continue to increase in that. And we can. And some people might be thinking, though, okay, God's given me abilities and gifts, but what are they? I can only think of maybe one. Maybe I can't think of any. Well, that's certainly something to pray about, to think about. You know, what are my gifts? We wrestle with that. And sometimes we might think, well, I don't really have a gift in this area, and it's so small, and it use it. And see what God does with your ability. And right now, in your immaturity, if you're in an immature state, if you're a teenager or you've just been baptized and you're young in the faith, yes, there's going to be some things that you're lacking. But one thing that you definitely have is the ability to be trained. You know, a lot of people talk about that when they're looking for people to hire in their businesses. They want people who are willing to learn. They're teachable. Are you teachable? That's a skill, and it's an ability, because now you can take the good that you can do and increase it, and someone else can show you how. And we need that within the church, to be able to be taught, to be trained. So as we're thinking about what gifts do we have and how can we use them, I don't think this is an exhaustive list, but we're going to look here in Romans chapter 12, which we had looked at before. And I want us to think about it because we have a great list right here. But before that, we get a great introduction to it as well. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Romans 12, 3 through 5. This is what we read from Paul. He says, by the grace given to me. And notice the emphasis on grace. This is God's favor. God's grace is what He gives to you. His gifts to you. So by the grace given to me, Paul says this, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. God has given you an ability, and it has come by His grace, and according to a certain measure of your faith, and that you can live out in your life. He says, for as in one body, that's the church, one body, has many members, the members do not all have the same function. We all do different things. We all have different abilities. And I know there's some in the church that we often think, well, everybody can do what I do. I often think about that. I think, well, anybody can preach. Anybody can do this and prepare this. And a lot of times that's not completely true, is it? Not everybody has that ability or certain abilities that we know that we have. Not everybody can cook the things and bake the things that I can, or has the abilities that I have, who can do the skills and things that I do in the workplace. Not everybody can manage money the way that I can, or has the blessings. We can keep going, and we're going to get a further list of that in a moment. But everybody has different functions within the body. He says, for in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So listen to this, verses 6 through 8. What are those gifts by God's grace? Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Notice that. God has given you these. And then notice this. There's an imperative statement here that could be translated as a direct command. You must use them, could be the translation here. But I think the way that the translators do it is in the context of things, Paul's trying to encourage them. So it takes a softer command, imperative. Let us use them. Use what? He says, if you have the ability to prophesy, then do it a proportion according to your faith, to our faith. So to prophesy, it would be the ability of speaking forth God's word. So if it's reading the scriptures or teaching or preaching, which are also mentioned here in the context, if you have that ability, use them. That's the command from God here. Use them. Because they're given to you by God's grace. And He's put them and He's given to you. And if you don't use them, what are you doing? You're just burying the talent in the ground. Don't bury it. Use your abilities. Start here in the congregation and go out. We keep reading here, if service and serving. You're good at serving others. You know when people are in need and how to take care of them or where to be at what time. God bless you. Sometimes I wonder about that. I think, should I go help that person, that neighbor? And I feel like I'm very poor at that. If someone tells me, listen, you can go help them, I will. But I always second guess myself on that. But if I have ability and a service, I need to be using it. If service and serving. And the one who teaches and teaching, if you can teach, then teach. And you don't have to teach just here in this building or in a Bible class. You can have a Bible study in your home. You can have it on Monday night. You can have it, you know, Thursday night, and you can have it any other time of the week that you can come up with. You can do it via email, over the internet. There are a dozen different things that you can be doing and teaching, instructing others if you have that ability. The one who exhorts. We need those in the congregation who are encouragers. I do. Encouragers make a big difference for me. You help me when you encourage me. So if you're that person who's in the congregation or in the community, and you're always encouraging people, and you're doing it for the glory of God, God bless you. Keep doing it. If you have that ability, don't hide it. Don't bury it in the ground. Use it. The one who contributes. There are those who are successful in what they've done, that they have been able to have a great income, and they're able to be generous. Now, we all have some kind of income in which we can be at least generous in a tenth of it. But the more that God has given us, the Bible says, like in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that God has given it to those individuals to use it. The wealth that they have, the success that they have had, to share with others in generosity. Don't bury that. You know, and I think a lot of people say, you know, I got this, and they often think, What do we think when we get a little bit more income? We think, how am I going to spend it? How am I going to use it for me? Not thinking about, well, I'm going to use it for this. And I've often encouraged others that when you have a savings account, build up that savings, but it's not just for you. It's for anybody that you know who's in need. That's what you're saving for. So you can contribute in generosity. The one who leads, lead with zeal. You have the ability to lead, to start things. You know, and when we get done this morning, we'll talk about some the fall festival coming up. But if you see something that this congregation can be doing, you can lead in it. You can mark it on the calendar. Make sure the elders have approval of it. Probably going to be approved. It's a good idea. And you put it down 3 weeks from now, 6 months from now, whenever, and start planning and get others to help you to do it. So the one who leads, do it with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, we need this. We have individuals who come into congregations who have passed, who have difficulties and things they struggle with, where they've been kind of ostracized from other churches or other communities or other people, where we need to show them mercy. Those acts of mercy are needed, and it needs to be done with cheerfulness. So right here, you've got an excellent list, Romans 12, 6 through 8, where you can examine it and say, okay, I can do that, and I can do that, and I can do that. And you start to see that you have more talents than you realize, that if you use them, they will double and they will increase, and great things will come from it, because God's given it to you for a reason. Thank God for that. Someone might say, yes, I have gifts, but I can't use them for anything great. I hear that excuse because the reason I hear that excuse is because sometimes it's in my own thinking. Yeah, I can do that, but what good's going to come from it? And sometimes we think like that. What's going to come from that? And when you're thinking like that, then you're not really putting your mind on God and the one, the Creator who gave them to you, who gave you that grace in the first place. That if I trust in Him, this little thing, and you hear all these stories about people who start businesses, they start with these little things and it just kind of grows and becomes great things. But we want to think about it in the sense of ministry. Ministry is not something that the staff of the church does. It's what the church does. Ministry is what the church does. Every member, every function, everybody has a gift and ability that we need to be doing and using what we have. See, at least with what we have, we can start small. We can be willing to learn. And I know what the scriptures say. God has created us and formed us, and He saved us by His grace for His own to be His own workmanship. God has saved you to do great works through you. And I believe it because the scriptures say that. I want to share with you one last passage before we conclude this morning. This one stood out to me and I think is a good summary of what we've been looking at. Peter says this, 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards, as good managers of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. You have the ability to speak, you need to be speaking the truth of the Word. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You have the strength to serve, do it. In order that in everything God may be glorified, He gets the glory through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that's a good verse for us to conclude this morning. Hope that you think about yourselves and reflect upon this today, that you pray about it and pray to God, God, help me to see my abilities, to use them, to increase. It's never too late to be doing God's will. He'll do great, wonderful things through you. And the instruction here of that parable of the talents from Jesus is, again, putting the responsibility on you, not to bury it in the ground. Will you act upon your faith? This morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He rose from the dead, you can confess your faith, you can repent of your sins, die to your old self, bury that old self in the waters of baptism, and rise up into the newness of life. You can start the Christian life and become a disciple. Whatever your needs are this morning, we encourage you to come or find someone to pray with you. Let's sing together.